Last Sunday, I began sharing some thoughts with us about living purposefully and the fulfilling of destiny. Every one of us are here for a reason. There's not one person seated here today that is here by chance. No child has been born by mistake. It matters not how you came to this plane. You came here for a reason. Everybody came here for a reason. And when I say came here for a reason, I didn't say came here for a reason because you were so perfect. You had all your fingers and all your toes and your nose was in the right place and everything was just right. Doesn't matter how you came. You came here for a reason, and there's a purpose, and there's a destiny. Even if that destiny and that purpose lasted 1 second, it doesn't matter. Because in the fullness of time, when we all stand before God, we will understand all things. And say, wow, that was the reason. So that's why that happened. I may not know why it happened in this plane. But everything happens for a reason. I wish I had a tapestry with me today, and I was able to show you one side of that tapestry. You will see that everything, if it is done by hand, everything on one side looks so wonderful and beautiful until I turned it to the other side, and you saw the other side, and you see all these threads going every which way, and nothing makes sense. And I flip it the other way. Oh. That's a bird. That's a house. That's a cow. I turn it the other way. Show me the cow. I just see threads. I just see wool. Sometimes all we see is the messed up part. But we need to have a vision of the other side. And when you have a sense that the artist, the creator, knows exactly what he's doing, then you shy away from complaining and griping to come into an understanding. I don't understand. But I'm not creator. I don't understand. I'm not the potter. I don't understand. I am not the maker. I don't understand. But I'm not the artist. Somebody say, God has a purpose for my life. And I have a destiny. Have that settled, please. You will live peacefully if you have that settled. You will relax if you have that settled. It's of utmost importance. Purpose maybe summarized simply as reason for. It's a reason for me. Destiny can be summarized simply as direction. Let me make this statement before I go further. And I'd like you to say it with me. My destiny is God's prophetic declaration over and upon my life. Therefore, I will, like the word of God, accomplish my purpose. I shall not return back to God void. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So shall my word be that what? Goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So shall my word be. 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 Now, I will look at verse 10, but I'm not going to go to verse 10 yet. Because I want you and I to see something by application, by inference, by the spirit of understanding. So shall my word be. So shall my word be. So shall my word be. Psalm 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens what? Made. And all the host of them by the what? Breath of his mouth. All the host of them by the what? Breath of his mouth. By the word of the Lord. By the breath of his mouth. The word of the Lord, the breath of his mouth. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. Yeah? By the breath of God. Psalm 33 says that breath of God is the word of God. Amen? The breath of God is the what? Word of God. Talk to your neighbor and say, he's getting somewhere. He's going somewhere. The breath of God is the word of God. So when God breathed into man, and man became a living soul, what did he breathe in? Word. He breathed his word into man, and man became a living soul. Praise the Lord. If you don't get it yet, go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6:63. It is the Spirit That what? Quickeneth. When God breathed into man, man was quickened. He came alive. It is the spirit that what? Quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are what? Life. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And it is that spirit, which is the word, that quickens. Hallelujah. The word what? Quickens. The spirit what? Quickens. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So shall my word be. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be. What word? The word that quickens. How is that connected to my destiny and purpose? God is saying to me, I am the God who quickens you. I'm the God who quickens you. I'm the God who quickens you. When I speak my word, you will be quickened. You will fulfill your divine purpose. You will accomplish your destiny. Nothing can stop it. Amen. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall not return to me void. It will accomplish. I said, I will accomplish what God sent me to accomplish. Because the flesh profited nothing, but the word of God inside of me shall accomplish its purpose. Somebody shout hallelujah. Word made, word fired. So shall my word be. Let there be. Amen. And it was the word that said it. The word of God is light. Let there be light. Amen. Jesus said, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be first. And the very first thing when he says, saying, let there be light, he was talking about you. He was putting you into motion. And on the sixth day, which was the last day of his work, that which he started on the first day, he wrapped up on the sixth day. Because I'm light. Born from the Father of lights. In whom there's no no mango, no twisting, no shadow of turning, straight shooter. Woo! Kabara shandele bati. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth; it shall not return unto me void, empty. You're not going back to God empty. You know, is it empty you came, empty you shall go? No. When I came with word. And when I return with results. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But it shall. It, the word. The word that is inside of me. Which is a prophetic statement of God. It shall accomplish that which God please. Say it with me again. My destiny is God's prophetic declaration over and upon, into my life. I will like the word of God, accomplish my purpose. I shall not return void. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Then say amen.
Amen.
The word of God. Is true. We started out our discourse from Jeremiah chapter 1 last Sunday. Jeremiah 1. And in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, the word of God says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." That was and is my assignment for you. And because that's my assignment for you, don't you dare say, I'm a child. Don't you dare say, I'm a child. 4, verse 7. Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. You're going to go to everyone I sent you to. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Man became a living soul, or even better translated, a speaking spirit. A speaking spirit, because he's filled with word. I have the word of God in me. Now, it is to the extent of our understanding that we function. And that's why it's important that we listen to the word of God, study the word of God, and allow the word of God to fashion us into the image of the word. Praise the Lord. It is so important that we be fashioned into the image and likeness of God that he put his word inside of us, because it is the word that makes all things. Nothing that is made outside of the word. And the word that I believe is the word that I need to prophesy. I prophesy it by confessing it, by saying what God said. And I can boldly say that I will not return back to God empty, without fulfilling my God-ordained purpose and destiny. That means sickness cannot take me out. The terrorists cannot take me out. Accidents cannot take me out, because I'm not an accident. You understand? I'm not an accident, so accident won't take me out. Praise the Lord. Everything that I need to do, I will accomplish. I will finish my course. Amen? I will what? Finish my course. I'll finish everything I'm supposed to do. And no devil, no sickness, nothing is going to take me out. Now, if you don't believe that, if you don't know that, then your life can be cut short. But when you know, I'm not going nowhere, not until I finish what I'm finishing. Because I'm not returning back void, empty, and not finished. When the one that I'm created in his image and likeness, the one who lives inside of me, said, it is finished, it is accomplished. I shall be. That's why we are Christians. We are Christians because we are Christ-like. As he is, so are we. Amen? So it is true. They are destiny stealers. It is true. There are people who will steal other people's destinies and purpose and whatever. It is true. The Word of God talks about that. But so also is the Word of God saying concerning me that nobody can steal my destiny. Because I know my people perish because of a lack of what? Knowledge. But now that I know that nobody can steal my destiny, let them try. They will fail. Hallelujah. For what I am called to be, I will be. So let it be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you on the same page with me? The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 44, beginning to read from verse 2. Verse 1 says, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Verse 2, hear this. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, God who made you, and formed thee from the womb. It's the same statement he made to Jeremiah. While you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew you. Which will help thee. Which will what? Help thee. Which will what? Help thee. So I got a helper. The helper is there to help me fulfill my purpose and accomplish the destiny that God has ordained. That's what the helper is there to do. Oh, there's no reason for help. You don't need a helper if you don't need help. And you cannot say you're helping me if you are not in agreement with whatever it is that I'm trying to do. Yeah? We can agree? Yes. So, if God says, I'm your helper, I will help you, then it is because there's an assignment, something that needs to be accomplished. And God is saying, hey, I'm here to help you. Now, when you have a helper, it's not just necessarily needed for that which you can do, and you need help to help you accomplish it speedily. Help comes to you when you are not capable of doing whatever it is that you want to do. So the helper comes and helps you. So this is what we got here. We got the fact that God is there to help me with those things that I need help with when I am able to do it, so I can do it quicker, efficiently, thank you. Or he's there to help me with what I am incapable of doing because it is necessary for the fulfillment of purpose and destiny. I formed you to accomplish something. I'm going to help you fulfill that destiny. It's not by my might, not by my power, but by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, fear not, Jacob, my servant, thou Jeshurun, Israel, the one that I've chosen. Don't be afraid. I got you covered. Hallelujah. Someone said, God got me covered. Isaiah 42, verse 5 through 9, talking about purpose and destiny. Isaiah 42, verse 5 through 9. Thus said the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth what? Breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Watch this now. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. This is my purpose for you. Why? To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. My assignment, your assignment, our assignment is to bring sight to people, to release people from the seat of darkness and from the place of imprisonment. In other words, bring people to freedom. Praise God. One of these days, I'm going to share something with you about the blessing and the anointing. Now, what I'm talking about here is not an anointing. The anointing is great, it's powerful, it's a helper. But ultimately, what every one of us need is the blessing of God. It's the blessing of God. It's the blessing of God that gives you the grace to dominate. The blessing of God. The blessing of God is that which is transferable and doesn't break. You cannot break the circuit of it. The blessing. That's what every one of us here needs. The blessing of God. I bless you to go do. Now, you might be interested to know. Watch this now. The first time God pronounced the blessing was not upon man. Did you know that? The first thing God blessed was animals and birds. Genesis 1:21. He says, be fruitful and multiply. But when God, that was God priming the system. And when God was really ready to bless, He blessed man to have dominion over the first blessing. Do you know why? You want to know why? Because God wants to shut down anything that will hinder the restoration. Now, I will come into that another day in full. He spoke, God, how many of you know God knows past, present, and future? Amen. He knows. He blessed, says, be fruitful, multiply. I believe that's Genesis 1:21. Let's look, yeah. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth what? Abundantly. After their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be what? Fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. That's the first time God used the word blessing, Barak. But when we get to verse 28, it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and what? Replenish. Be what? Fruitful and multiply. Be what? Fruitful and what? Multiply. And then do what? Replenish the earth. And what? Subdue it. That's your purpose. And have dominion over the fish of the sea that were supposed to produce how? Abundantly. And over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'm giving you greater grace, dominion. Everything is going to be under you. Hallelujah. I'm making you in charge. Declare over yourself now, I have the anointing, the grace, the blessing to have dominion. Hallelujah. Dominion. Dominion. That's God's call to you and I to dominate. It is a word of God. He's pronounced it over my life, over your life, and he says, you dominate. Let's go a little bit deeper. When we're talking about this grace, Isaiah 42, verse 5 through 9. Oh my. Isaiah 42, verse 5 through 9. We've gone through 5 already. Let's go to 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in the righteousness and will hold thine hand, will hold your hand, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Verse 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Neither my what? To what? Graven images. Graven images, that's idols. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I tell you of them. There's some things the Lord said to me this morning as I was coming early this morning to spend some quiet time. I woke up this morning and the weather was interesting. This mist or dew, whatever you might call it. You could hardly see anything. And I'm coming. And the Lord says, do you see what you're seeing? I said, I see what I'm seeing. So you sure you see what you're seeing? I said, I see what I'm seeing. There's dew. So I said, let your blessings come on my life like the dew, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. I said, you still don't get it. Eh? What is it I'm missing? And he said some things to me that were rather interesting. Some of it I cannot share with you because it is more personal. But this is what he said to me that was rather interesting. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6. Genesis 2 and verse 6. And one of the things that happened, was that as I was coming, my odometer, as soon as I stopped, I was right here in front of the church, stopped at 9:19:57. Now that may not mean anything to you, but it meant something to me. So I'm looking at the odometer, 9:19:57. 1957. 9. Birthing. Fruitfulness. 1957. I'm looking at that, and the Lord says to me, he says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Verse 7. And the Lord God did what? Formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord said, you see this mist? I say, yeah, I see it. This is how it was when I created man. I say, oh, mist. God created man for a purpose. The people that he created, the man that he created with purpose and a destiny on his mind, he created in the environment of a mist. And I looked at that time, that odometer again, 9:19:57. I'm created for a purpose. You're created with a divine purpose in the heart of God. And I'm saying to you today, I'm saying to us today, nothing is going to stop what God has ordained. Now, you can, and there's only one person, ultimately, that can stop you from fulfilling that destiny. You. Based on what? Based on how you use the letters between A and Z, Alpha and Omega. You can decide and say, I cannot. Or you can say, I can. You can determine how your destiny is going to be formed. There is a baseline. The baseline is, I'm here to help you. Help you with what? With whatever it is you want help with. But what is it I'm supposed to do? And God says to you, what do you want to do? I already told you to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. What do you want to do? Where do you want to dominate? What do you want to accomplish? Because I'm going to quicken inside of you your story. Everybody has a story. Your story may not be mine, but it may be entangled with mine, but it will not be mine. My story, I'm going to give an account for. Your story, you're going to give an account for. Our stories are intertwined. We may not know how it is because we're looking at the wrong side of the tapestry and it looks like threads all over the place, but flip. Oh, wow. That's why God is telling his story. Every string is part of the story. Missed. And God makes a man. Now you're telling us it's about miss and then creating man. What does verse 8 say? And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. In verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And we preached on that already. Why am I taking you here to the first river of Pisan and on and on? Why? Because we know God already put trees. In Genesis 1, he already did that. So why is he saying to us in verse 8? In verse 8, it says, and the Lord God planted a what? Garden. He planted a garden. This is not just words all over the place. Now there is intent, focus. Focus. Somebody say focus. God is focused on doing something. He plants a garden. He didn't speak it. He plants it. Directly involved. God is directly, when he created man, he also created direct involvement in which he and man were going to be relating. And so he came to the place where he was directly involved and ministered to the man in the place that he said, I'm going to be directly involved with him. Amen. You are not here by yourself. God has created an atmosphere in which he is going to be very directly involved with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you receive that word? Direct involvement. This is not, I'm God, I'm way over here. No, I'm directly involved with you. I'm directly involved with the environment where you are. I am there with you. I am planting the garden. That means order. Garden, the difference between a garden and a bush or a forest is that the garden has direct involvement and order. Yeah? God is directly involved with your life. And God is putting your life in order. And guess what? He put a man in there to practice husbandry, farming, agriculture, to keep things in order. Keep things in order by direct involvement. Because a garden that does not have continued direct involvement will become a bush. What has God put in your care? You need to be involved in tending. That brings me to this. Oh, time. Okay. Let me say this few things quickly. One. As we're talking about purpose and destiny, the one first question we must all ask ourselves is this one question. What problem has God commissioned me to solve? What problem, because remember, the world was a total mess, and God said, let there be light. That's not the sun or the moon. Let there be light. I'm going to go too a little bit deep here. When God said, let there be light, oh my. Should I say this? When God said, let there be light, remember I said he was talking about you? Yes. But when God said, let there be light, God, who is the Father of lights, was saying, God be! Amen. God spoke himself into that atmosphere and began the process of change. If you and I are going to fulfill our destiny, we must speak ourselves into that situation and say, change! Amen. The God who was and is and will ever be said, there is no place that I don't occupy. And where I am, there cannot be confusion. Amen. When the light shines, darkness must vamoose. Yes. That's my story. That's your story. That's our story. That we are agents of change by the anointing. Amen. Don't see yourself as ordinary. See God moving in you and with you and through you. I'm going to talk about these other things in the days to come. One of the first things I need you to get is that to live purposefully and to fulfill our destiny, we have to live intentionally, we have to be focused, we have to be discerning, we have to be giving, we have to meditate and hear the directives of God. Word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and he will direct your path. Romans 8 and verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, led by the Word of God, led by that which God has invested in them, they are the sons of God. And the Word of God says, all creation, verse 28, Romans 8, 28, all creation, says, watch this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that what? love God, to them that who are called according to his what? Purpose. All things do what? For those people who are called according to his purpose, work together for what? Good. If it works together for good, is there bad? It's no bad. It's all working together for good. Amen? Everything is working together for my good. You hear bad news, it's working together for your good. You hear good news, it's working together for your good. You hear mediocre news, it's working together for your good. Anything that is working together for your good is what giving God praise for. That gets me to this. Ultimately, your reason and purpose is to praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah.